There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I'm not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Why then are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah nor Elijah nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal." This took place in Bethany, across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
It's good to be here at St. Andrew's, and I want to thank your rector, Charlotte, for the invitation to be here today. It's also a very rare day that we get to hear St. Paul being short and sweet. Those are usually not words that we think of with Paul, but today he is short and sweet in this reading from Thessalonians. St. Paul was a pastoral theologian. And what I mean by that is he is trying to find where God is in the midst of particular places at particular times around the Mediterranean Sea, where the good news was spreading and taking hold. And that happens differently in places like Rome than it does in Corinth, than it does in Galatia. The thing about Paul, he had his good days and bad days like all of us, I know, but he's not trying to set forth some abstract theology that is true for all times and all places. He's in the weeds with the conflicts and the alliances, with the parking lot conversations. And Apollos and Chloe and many others are part of that narrative. There is therefore more than a little irony that we lean in and listen for a word of the Lord when we hear these letters read in our own day. What I mean to say is that context mattered a great deal to Paul, and that context ought to matter to us as well. It matters that we are gathered here today at St. Andrew's, not my first time in this space, but it feels different. Masked people, a few on either side, the door open. We are here virtually because of this pandemic in this year of our Lord, 2020. We aren't in Williamstown or Worcester. And it is not 1954 anymore. We are here now on this third Sunday of Advent as we near the shortest day of the year in this hemisphere and the darkness seems to envelop us. We are here now in this time and in this place. And so is the risen Christ. Because when two or three are gathered, he is in our midst. St. Paul models something for us, I think, by responding to very specific challenges within those particular faith communities, each with their own gifts and each with their own challenges. Because while it is true that wherever two or three are gathered together in Jesus' name, he is in the midst of them, it is also true that whenever two or three are gathered together, there will be all kinds of interesting challenges because of our common humanity. Paul comes to his work and to each letter with some core principles that take shape differently as the congregation seeks to serve Christ and tries, with God's help, to love God and to love neighbor. And so today's epistle reading is addressed to those early followers of the Jesus movement in Thessalonica. It's the capital of the Roman province of Macedonia. And the little note in my New Oxford Annotated Bible frames the context. 1 Thessalonians is a friendly, exhortive letter of encouragement. Paul extends affectionate praise for the audience's steadfast hope and consistent behavior. Friendly. Again, not always St. Paul. In fact, this kind of praise might come as quite a surprise to the Corinthian Christians. They were on the receiving end of some far more combative letters from Paul. They were a very conflicted congregation, and they fight about just about everything. Paul suggests at one point that they sound like a bunch of noisy gongs and clanging cymbals, and by the time he gets to the 13th chapter of that much less friendly and much less affectionate letter, what he's really saying is, get it together, gang. Knowledge puffs up. Only love builds up, and this is what it's about, faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. So let me not put too fine a point on this. Being with you, St. Andrews, even in these weird circumstances, feels a lot more like coming to Thessalonica than to Corinth. You are one of the shining lights of our diocese. When I last spent serious time among you, it was during a clergy transition. You said goodbyes to Derek and his family. I vividly remember being in this space and hearing your genuine concerns about the future. Could there be life after Derek? The anxiety level was high, at least a little high. And then there was an interim period, which included a lot of good work and some challenges as well. And then a whole faithful process of exploration, of learning, of listening, of writing a truthful profile, of interviewing candidates, and then a call to Charlotte and her family who got here ready to get to work. Well done. And then COVID-19. And through it all, I have witnessed resiliency and adaptability and hard work. I see your wardens and your rector showing up at diocesan town halls. And so like Paul with the Thessalonians, I have nothing but affectionate praise for your steadfast hope and your consistent behavior. The letter to the church in Thessalonica is earlier than Corinthians. In fact, the words we heard today are probably in the oldest document of the whole New Testament, about 20 years before Mark's gospel, which was the earliest. But here too, early on, Paul is thinking about faith, hope, and love, because those are always the marks of true Christian community. They are always his core principles. And here, it's because he notices what happens when communities do put these principles at the heart of their mission and purpose. He writes in the first verses, "We always give thanks to God for all of you and mention you in our prayers, constantly remembering before God your work of faith, your labor of love, your steadfastness of hope." Paul and the Thessalonians think the end of the world is coming soon and that Christ's return is imminent. And so this short letter is dealing with questions about how the community can stay alert, how they can be ready for that day, how they can do the work that they're called to do. This is why it makes very good reading in Advent. How do we live in a way that shows that we are prepared for the end of the world as we know it? And again, Paul says to the Thessalonians, "You've got your act together. Concerning the times and the seasons, you do not need me to have write anything to you. For you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief of the night." But it's Paul, right? So he does say a little bit more. He can't help himself. But once again, it's a word of encouragement. Because you are children of the light, he tells them, you know how to put on the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet of hope. There they are again, that trifecta. Faith, hope, love. How do you get ready for the end of days? How do you prepare for the coming of the Christ into the world? The answer is the same in good times and in bad times. You live with faith and hope and love. And then these incredible words of advice: respect one another, esteem one another, be at peace with one another, admonish the idlers, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everybody. That's the one I have to work on the hardest. Don't escalate conflict by repaying evil with evil. Respond to evil by doing good. It's a short, compact letter. And then I've already gotten to the words that we heard read just a few moments ago, but let me return to them in summary. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise the words of prophets. Test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from evil. Whether the end of the world is imminent or thousands of years away, on this third week of Advent, in this incredibly difficult year for our nation and for the world, there is a word of the Lord here for us, I believe. Thanks be to God. And I pray you hear it with me. The world is in tough shape on so many fronts. But it is in moments like this that it is most clear why we need the church ourselves, even if we are gathered virtually, and even more importantly, why the world needs for us to be the church, even when our use of the building is limited. We need to keep on keeping on with faith, hope, and love. Things will get better. I do not say that they will return to normal, but things will get better. And God is definitely doing something new among us. And you, St. Andrews, have been early adapters to that new reality. And even now, even with the building closed, Longmeadow loves. Faith, hope, and love, but especially love. And so we have lit the third candle in our wreath, the rose candle. This third Sunday of Advent is often called Gaudete Sunday, from the Latin word that means rejoice. The word joy is out in front here on the altar. All the signals are around us. Today is a day to rejoice. That's what St. Paul says to the Thessalonians. Rejoice always. This might seem easy for Paul to do with his beloved friends in Thessalonica, but I remind you of another time and another place in a different context when he writes the same words to the followers of Jesus in Philippi. Rejoice. Again, I say rejoice, except there he's writing from a prison cell. I wonder if what we are called to do is practice rejoicing, so that whatever comes our way, it is just second nature to us. The late Joseph Campbell once wrote, "Participate joyfully in the sorrows of this world. We cannot cure the world of sorrows, but we can choose to live in joy." That is a reminder to me, and I hope to us, that joy is not a synonym for happy. Some days we feel happy, some days we feel sad, some days we feel a whole range of emotions. But joy is not an emotion. Joy is a commitment to be fully alive and of trusting that God is with us. Rejoice, rejoice. Emmanuel has come to thee, O Israel, and O Longmeadow too. It has been a hard, long pandemic. And that shapes this Advent 2020 as we prepare not only to celebrate our dear Savior's birth, but also to prepare for what looks to be a long, hard winter. And in spite of all that, we light that third candle, that rose candle, and we speak of joy, not as an act of denial, but as an act of resistance and an act of resilience and a commitment to faith, hope, and love in all times. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances.